Hallelujah. Did you come expecting today? If you didn't come expecting anything and you don't receive anything, you ought not be disappointed. But if you come expecting, we pray that God fills every void of your heart today. Good to see Arthur Lodge. Amen. Amen. The skinny man getting fat. Hallelujah. You say, Pastor, that's not nice. It is if you lost 100 pounds, got down to 102 pounds, isn't it? Amen. We prayed specifically one Saturday night that he would gain 30 pounds. And I think that's about what you put back on right now, right? So praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It's good to have Chad and Misty here today. That's Dave Allen's children. And I'm just glad to have them. Amen. I'm talking to you today out of Philippians chapter 4, very familiar portion of Scripture. You're going to know some of these verses and you're going to think, yes, I quote that all the time. And most of the time you probably are quoting it out of context. So you need to listen closely today. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 through the end of the chapter, I titled this, Christ in Me Produces a Can-Do Attitude. Amen. Any of you need a can-do attitude today? Amen. I think all of us do. Hallelujah. He starts off in verse 8. He says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. For I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's one of the verses we know, right? Yeah. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Buddy, that is powerful right there. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received Epaphroditus, the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of the Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Don't listen to me pray. Let us pray. Oh, Jesus, we come before you today, thankful to be in the house of God. Thankful, Father, Lord, that as we join our faith together, Lord, we have come expecting to receive something great from the Spirit of God today. Father, we believe, Lord, in miracles, God. We believe in healing. We believe that even now, Lord, you are with Connie in that emergency room and you're bringing that blood pressure down, Father. Lord, I thank you, God, that, Lord, that you are all-powerful, Father. And, Lord, to him who believes, Lord, we will receive, Lord. You said that we ask anything in your name, Lord, that we will receive it. Lord, you said that we can speak to the mountain. And, Lord, if we believe, Father, it will be removed and cast into the sea. Father, we speak to that mountain right now of high blood pressure, and we say, be gone from her body in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you, Lord, that I know you not only as my Savior, I know also, Father, you provide every need, Father. You are Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals me, Lord. You are the God that provides, Jehovah Jireh. Lord, you're everything to me. I worship you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. I bless the name of Jesus. I exalt your name in this house. There is none like you. In you we live and move and have our being. Father, Lord, speak to us today. Speak from the throne room of heaven. God, I'm only a conduit. But Lord, speak. Lord, I yield my voice to you. Speak through me. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, for you are my rock and my redeemer. In the precious name of Christ, I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He starts off and he lists several things that we're going to talk just real quickly about. And he says, I want you to meditate on these things. Meditate, as I said last week, means to chew the cud. You just hang on to it. You just think about it. And we talked about what fear is. Fear is fearful meditations. When worry is fearful meditations. So every one of us know how to meditate. What he is telling us today is you've got to choose on what you're going to meditate on. Because if you don't make a great choice, if you don't consciously choose to think on the right things, Satan will put the wrong things in your heart. You know, in the 80s, Joyce Meyer wrote a great book, and she titled it, The Battlefield of the Mind. See, this is where the battle is happening right here in the mind. And so we've got to take captive our thoughts and place them upon him. You know, the book of James says, he who controls his tongue is the same as the perfect man. Perfect meaning mature. So mature people control the words of their mouth. And so I want to talk to you about five things that are marks of maturity, because I believe this book of Philippians is really speaking to those that are mature in their faith and encouraging them to go on and to grow in the Lord Jesus. And so you may think, well, what does James, talking about the tongue, what does that have to do with what I'm meditating on? You see, what you meditate on in private will come out in public. Be it good or bad. Garbage in, garbage out. Righteousness in, righteousness out. Am I telling you the truth? I am. Matthew chapter 12, verse 35. I'm sorry, Jonathan, I'm skipping all over on you. Matthew 12, 35 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, but an evil man out of his evil treasure brings forth evil things. So what are you treasuring? What are we putting in? Are we putting in good things, godly things? So I want to quickly give you five marks of maturity. He says, these are just some things I come up with, but number one is your concern for others should outweigh the concern you have for yourself. Are you more concerned for others? Are you number one in your life? It's just a mark of maturity. It's just something that I want you to think about and try to examine your heart and say, how mature am I in my walk with God? Is it all about me? You might be surprised. We fool ourselves a lot on this one. We think we're all concerned about everybody else. In truth, we occupy we time and we mind most of the time, right? It's all about me. Remember years ago, I brought that old country song, It says, I don't mind talking about you sometimes, but I want to talk about me, right? And that's the way we live our lives. A lot of times it's all about me. When God wants us to be others focused, thinking about others. Number two, you detect the presence of evil before it's manifest. It's amazing to me how many Christians get in a place where they ought not be, in an evil spot, and they don't even know it. They don't know that there's darkness all around them. Why? The Bible says one of the gifts of the Spirit is discernment of spirits. You need to get your gift going on, right? Jesus wants to make you aware. I'm not saying that He won't ever lead you into some dark places where you can be the light, but you ought to know that you're going there, right? Not just get there and think, what am I doing here? Number three, listen to this. Even though the task may be difficult, you'll complete it. Do you get me? The task may be difficult, but mature believers complete it. We don't give up. You get it? We don't give up. Not if God told me to do it. How stubborn are you for the Lord's sake? I'm not asking you how stubborn you are. I'm saying for the Lord's sake. You know, sometimes I have found that you just got to plant your feet. You just got to be a bulldog about your faith. And you got to say, I shall not be moved. Right? I'm not backing up, Satan. You ever talk to the devil like that? I'm not running. I am not running, devil. I know who I am in Christ. And I'm here for a fight. You know, John Piper said this. I quoted it last night. He said, until you know that life is war, you will not know what prayer is for. Something else to come out of my mouth last night as I was praying. I think I read this years ago. Most Christians believe the church is the love boat. It's the love boat. We ain't a love boat, folks. We're a warship. And until you understand that you are the church and that you are a battleship for Christ, we are the ones, folks. This is so deep in my spirit. See, we ought to be leading the community, not following the community. We don't follow culture, we lead culture. Number four, my emotions are tempered by my responsibility, my walk and my calling with Christ. How much are you being led by your emotions? Come on, if we could only get truthful. Most of us would say, I'm led by my emotions most of the time. But that ain't what we're supposed to do. The righteous walk by faith. He said, I'm not led by what I see. Come on. How many of you right now, this very day, when you look at the future, you don't see a whole lot of glory? The lights are not bright. The future's not saying, oh, how wonderful. Are you going to let that lead you? Are you going to say, I don't care what it looks like. What I care is what He said. And He said, I'm going through. And I'm going through, bless God. Buddy, when we get bulldog mature and believing so that we just, are you ready for a fight, I guess is what I'm really saying. Because whether you know it or not, you're in a battle. I'm amazed at how many Christians don't know that there's a battle going on. And we're going naked to war. Number five, do I heed instruction or correction well? Most Christians will quit the church if the pastor corrects them. Well, pastor, you just got to be loving. You know, some of the most loving words in the world is the bridge is out. Don't go that way. You hear me? We don't even know what love is. Proverbs 12, verse 1 says, whoever loves instruction loves knowledge. Do I have lovers of instruction? Bless God, the Word of God is our instruction manual, right? But he who hates correction... Now, this is Bible. This is not me. Don't get mad. I don't need an email. I know some of you right now, you're thinking about, I need to tell him. We don't allow that word in our house. Folks, it's just the Word of God. He who hates correction is stupid. Will you listen? You know, the Word of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instruction in righteousness. It's one of the verses we memorized. All Scripture is God-breathed, inspired by the Holy Ghost, so that we would benefit from it. But if you won't listen, if you don't allow the Holy Spirit to say, straighten up, young man, then the Word has something to tell you. Let's go back to verse 8. He says, this is the things you need to be thinking about. Things that are true. Things that are factual. Real and genuine. Do you know how much the devil tries to get you to think about things that are not even true? Do you know most of the things that you worry about is futuristic? They hadn't even happened yet. I'm a professional worrier. I know what I'm talking about. I told you last week, and Drew repeated me, I can't stop. And he repeated me word for word, I can't stop. I can't in myself, but through the Spirit of God, He's teaching me, cast off worry, walk in faith, boy. Think about the noble things, dignified, worthy of respect. I don't think anything of gossip will be in this. Things that are just and righteous. It means it conforms to God's standards. Is it pure, wholesome, clean, not mixed with moral impurity? Boy, that would stop a lot of our thinking, wouldn't it? Is it pure? Let me say it this way. If Jesus was with you beside you, could you talk to him about your thoughts? Is it pure enough that you could talk to Jesus about it? Is it lovely? Promotes peace rather than conflict. It's kind and it's gracious. Is it a good report or admirable? Positive and constructive. Reputable, not negative. And then he ends that portion of Scripture. He says, but put into practice the things that you have learned and received and heard. And therein is the breakdown. Christians have a lot of knowledge. Before my grandpa was saved, he could quote Scripture and verse to you all the time. You know what his problem was? He just didn't do it. He wasn't born again, but he could tell you the verses about being born again. He could quote Old Testament. My dad, every time he got drunk, he'd quote Old Testament. But he didn't do it. It's much like that in the house of God today. There's knowledge, but we're failing on doing it. God didn't come so that you would be bright. He came so that you would be different. Put your knowledge into action. Every time we get together, if we believe that the Spirit of God is here, there is an impartation of the Spirit of God. You understand that? It's not just so you can sit here on Sunday morning and do your religious thing. He wants you to change. Why? Because this world needs to see something that's different entirely. Put it into the practice. He goes on. He starts talking about how this impoverished group of believers have been so faithful to help him from the very onset of time. And he's saying, it's right. You know, we get so caught up in teaching on tithing or teaching on this. Can I just say this to you? Please listen. What God wants is generous people. The teachings of Christ are generosity. But what do we do in the world? What's the teachings of the world? Hoard it. We even have a show on hoarders. Now they're calling that a mental illness. Hoarding is a mental illness. No, it's not. It's a sin. How much of the things that we call mental illness, really, if you take it all the way back, it's just a sin. Hoarding is absolutely the opposite of what we ought to be. I've told you 1,000 times, God's into rivers, not dams. I ask myself this all the time. When will enough be enough? When will my cars be good enough? When will my house be big enough? When will my clothes be fine enough? So that I can be a giver. Let me just... Would you just quit worrying about those cheaters and be generous? You get what I'm saying? Well, I don't think that guy's... I don't really think he's true. I see him on the corner all the time. Always begging. Folks, I don't give to everybody. But when the Spirit of the Lord says give, you better give. And that's if your ear is in tune to the Spirit of God. There are going to be some times. You know, I remember I was driving to Illinois one time, going up to Wisconsin, I think. Stopped at this gas station. There was a guy on the street corner. And he asked me for money. I don't do that real often. And I thought, my first thought was, he's a con. And then I heard the Lord say, but share with him. I don't know. I don't know why. I don't have the end of that story. This is not, now let's hear the rest of the story. No, there is no rest of the story. You see, all I can say is I was obedient to what I felt like the Lord put in my heart. What that man did was up to him and God. But I just believe this. I believe that if I'm obedient, God's going to touch that man's heart. I've been quoting this verse a whole lot to myself lately. The heart of the kings is in God's hands. Buddy, God can move evil people to do good things. Right? Read your Old Testament. All through the Old Testament, you'd have an evil king that'd do something righteous. I remember thinking, well, what's that about? I thought he was a bad king. Oh, the heart of the kings is in God's hands. He can move through that man if he so chooses. Proverbs 19, verse 17 says, he who helps the poor is lending to the Lord, and he will repay what you have given. I'll take that any day. Whatever I give to the poor, God takes notice of. He said he'd give it back to me. In James chapter 2, he says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says that he has faith but he doesn't have works? Can faith save him if a brother or sister is naked or destitute of daily food? And one of you says to them, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, but you don't give them the things that are needed for the body. What does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, it's dead. You know, there's sometimes when praying for you is just vain words coming out of the believers. Praying for you, I ain't going to help you, but I'm praying for you. 1 Timothy chapter 6 says, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we'll carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we'll be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish, harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money," now listen to that, the love of money, not money. "The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." It's the love of money. Money is like a hammer. It's a tool to do a job. And God puts it in your hands so that you can work with it. And I've heard people pray, "Well, Lord, just give me enough." Shame on you. Shame on you. Don't you just pray for enough. Pray for an abundance. That you would use the excess to bless somebody. Right? Because that's what God wants to do. He commends this church and Epaphroditus, you know, for doing good towards him. But verse 13 says, "I can do all things through Christ, which gives me strength." And we slip that verse out of context and we quote it all the time, but rarely is it quoted correctly. Paul just said, "I know how to do with nothing, and I know how to abound. I know what to do with the excess, and I can do all things through Christ, which gives me strength." I just wanted to read this out of my commentator. It says, "It is important to note that the emphasis is not so much on achievement as it is on the willingness to allow Christ's power to sustain in difficult and scarcity, to enhance the enjoyment of abundance and prosperity. Such faith is a stimulant to believe for all Christ's sufficiency in facing all life's circumstances." How many times do we quote that verse, "I can do all things," when life is nothing but hell? I mean, all hell is broke loose against you, and you don't know why. Amen. Arthur still don't know why he's went through a year of sickness. Has no clue, to my knowledge, last time we talked. But I'm sure he quoted that verse a few times. "I can do all things through Christ." You know, the longer that you're in the trial, the more weary you get. And there comes a time, sometimes, when you just think, "Okay, Lord, I'm tired of fighting. I'm ready to go home." And buddy, that's the time that you need to dig your heels in and say, "But I can do all things through Christ. Not because I'm so smart. Not because I'm good, God help us, but through Christ, who gives me strength." You see, there's a verse in 2 Peter chapter 1, it's verse 3 and 4. You got that? "As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness." Hold on right there. Everything that you're going to go through in life, you can find the answer through His Word. He says, "Through the knowledge of Him who called us by His glory and virtue, by which has been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature of Christ, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts." Buddy, that ministers to me so much. Because that verse just told me I'm a natural man. I'm very natural. I have the same mindset that you do. I go through the same battles. And I've been through a few in the last week or two, 3 weeks. It's been nothing but every day it seems like I get up with a new pain. And there's sometimes when you just get tired of hurting. So I quote this verse. "I thank you, Lord, that I may be a natural man, but you have made me a partaker of the divine nature of God." In other words, I can lay hold of the promises of God and call them yea and amen. I may be natural, but I serve a supernatural God that's willing to come down and help me get through it. No matter what I'm facing, whether it's a physical sickness, whether it's poverty, it doesn't matter what we're facing. His divine nature, the power of God is there to help us. I don't know. I may not stir you up, but I stir these kids up. Sometimes I feel like Allstate. I've learned a few things because I've seen a few things, right? Isaiah said it a different way in chapter 40. He says, He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Hallelujah. Just stop right there for a second. Those who have no might, He gives you strength. Oh, Scripture says in the New Testament, He says, when we are weak, He is strong. That He manifests His strength in our weakness. Hallelujah. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and they'll not faint. Don't give up! You hear me? Don't give up! That's what the Scripture is saying. So what if life is not perfect right at the moment? Don't give up. He's going to help you through until the day He calls you home. In Isaiah 41:10, He says, fear not, for I am with you. That's good enough for me. Be not dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I'll help you. I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand. Do you realize how close He is? Are you getting that? Come on. Don't sanitize this so much that that's about somebody else. That verse is for you. He's right there with you no matter what you're going through. He's strengthening you. And when you understand that, then you can quote verse 13 that says, I can do all things through Christ, which gives me strength. I've been put through the ringer. Have you? I don't see any perfect people. I see a bunch of screwed up people, really. Can we say it? You ain't perfect and I'm not either. Don't you look at me. Don't you dare look at me and think I've arrived. I'm fighting the good fight of faith every day of my life just like you. And I'm spitting all over myself. These ladies on the front row, sorry about that. So would you scoot back just a little bit? Are you realizing what Paul is writing to us? Paul is writing that I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Verse 19, Paul goes on, he says, and my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It's another verse that we quote a whole lot. Here's my warning. I got kids everywhere screaming. Don't I? So don't let that madman go. Don't let him go. Here's what you need to remember about that verse. It's written to givers. Paul is writing this verse to a church that has been faithful to help him in his need. See, if you never give to the kingdom, you can't claim that verse. I'm sorry. And it may be because the first two words, my God. Oh, I'm going to get ugly. Maybe your God is money and not Jehovah. Buddy, I'm telling you, if you're serving money, you're serving a false God. and you will be disappointed in life. Don't serve money. It cannot compare to our God. But it makes every promise that your God does. See, if you have enough money, you'll think it's going to provide you peace. You think, with enough money, I'll have joy. You know, the most miserable people in this world are people that are wealthy and still don't have joy. Sometimes they're the most tormented people because they think they're going to lose it. Bless God, learn to hold everything loosely. If God puts it in your hand, bless the Lord. I believe God raises up kings in the ministry. So what are kings? Kings are people that finance the service. Bless God. Send us some kings, Lord. Because we got a work to do. My God shall supply all my need. You know, my need is more than living in a house, driving a car, and paying the electric bill. I don't know about you, but I have a need for love. I have a need for acceptance. We got lots of needs. I'm so sorry that a few preachers have turned the whole gospel into what you can get. Because it ain't ever supposed to be that way. You remember Kennedy? He said, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. What if Christians started doing that? What if Christians started saying, God, I'm not seeking just your hand, but you have put some things in my hands that I'm giving back to you. Now, what can I do for the kingdom of God? Ooh, you might be surprised what he says. Our God will supply every need that you have. Isaiah gives us a little bit more clarity. Those that are willing to wait. You know, we are not a patient society. I get mad at McDonald's because they're too slow. Right? And yet I want my food hot. Don't serve me fries that were cooked yesterday. I know they're going to be good for the next 10,000 years, but don't serve them to me cold. How often do we treat God like McDonald's drive-thru? Boy, I'm telling you, this stuff's coming to me just right and left. I'm just cutting you today, ain't I? I don't mean to. I'm cutting myself. You know, I think that we need to remember who we are. And we need to remember whose we are. The psalmist David said this, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." He also wrote in Psalms 37, "I've never seen the righteous forsaken, or their seed begging bread." You know, one thing I'm learning about God, He's a generational God. All through the Old Testament, He says, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He looked at Timothy. You remember when He looked at Timothy, He wrote him? He said, Timothy, stir up that gift that's in you. What gift? That gift that was in your grandma. That gift that was in your mama. That gift of faith. Stir it up. Do you realize God wants to bring more through your lineage than money? You realize you can leave money to your kids and it may damn them. But if you leave faith, oh my goodness. Come on, what do you want to really leave for your inheritance? Blessed is the man that leaves an inheritance not only to his children, but his children's children. I'm going to tell you, I may not give my grandkids a dime. Not if I get to spend it first. But what's important to me is that I impart to them this faith. I want to give them something that money can't buy. Money can't buy you joy. Joy comes from the Father. Jesus said, "My joy give I unto thee. My peace give I unto thee." Your brain can't even understand the peace of God. That's what he says. You can't even understand this stuff that I want to give you, but it's so great. I just want to say, count me in, Jesus. Count me in. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Anybody have trouble sleeping? He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Anybody needs restoration today? He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Folks, we read this at funerals all the time. This ain't talking about the dead person. This is talking about the person like Arthur that went through the valley of the shadow of death. Something I never told him. But I knew this last time he went in this hospital, I felt like the Lord says, it's go time. I felt like the Lord says, 2 weeks is all it's going to take. He's out of here in 2 weeks. It was do or die. Every time he went to the doctors, it's like they scratched their head, didn't know what to do with him. There's others in this congregation going through the same, very similar things. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear. For you are with me. You get that? Because I win either way. If he heals me, I win. But if I go to heaven, I'm a double winner. Bless the Lord. We don't lose. We never lose. We never die. Oh, we drop this old flesh. But you were created to live forever. You know that, right? We just transfer from home to home. Don't feel sorry for those that have gone on. Buddy, if they're a believer, they're rejoicing in God's presence. We feel sorry for the one that's left. You're the one that got to keep digging away, keep walking by faith. But he says, when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil. He says, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. Sheep would go crazy because flies would lay their eggs in the sheep's ear, and they would tunnel back into their mind, literally drive them crazy. But the shepherd would dump oil on their head so that when the flies would land, they'd get stuck in that oily hair. You get that? You see, the New Testament tells us the oil is symbolic of the Holy Ghost. Anoint my head with oil. Because this world's trying to drive me crazy. It's laying stuff in my head that ain't godly. And worry is fearful meditation. But Lord, if you'll anoint my head with oil, you'll stop the stuff that the world's trying to plant in my brain. Buddy, I'm preaching better than you're looking at me. That's good stuff. And I got a feeling Jay Odom is the cause of that. I'm glad you guys are having fun. Said you anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Now listen to this. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Are you expecting goodness and mercy? I am. I love how Paul ends his letter. He says, hey, all the saints want me to tell you blessings. They want to greet you. But it ain't that line that gets me. See, Paul was under arrest. He had a Roman soldier attached to him at all times. Paul wasn't feeling bad about himself. He wasn't sitting there thinking, oh,
I served you all my life, and here I am in jail.
That's what I'd be saying. Why about that verse, I've never seen the righteous forsaken? You ever gripe at the Lord? I do. I don't understand this. Paul was in jail, and he used that opportunity. Every time he got a new soldier attached to him, he realized, I'm an ambassador for God in chains. Hey, you can't go anywhere. How about we talk about Jesus? You getting that? He said, the saints in Caesar's household. Not one saint. Not George the jailer. The saints. How many people do you think he led to Jesus while he was attached to them? Oh, buddy, come on, get a hold of that. Even in the bad times, you're still an ambassador. If you'll get over yourself, quit feeling sorry for yourself, he may use you like never before. Maybe then you'll write a letter. It says, all those wicked people at the courthouse are now saints of God, and they greet you. I said that. She didn't say that. Okay. I can do all things through Christ because He gives me strength. Are you getting it? And my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches. I really believe that this whole book is based on chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he humbled himself and he became a man. You get this? When you realize who you are, and you ask the Lord, God, I got some stinking thinking going on. And I need my thinking to change. I need to see opportunity instead of despair. I promise you, he'll change your attitude before he changes the circumstance. That's powerful. I didn't have that written down. That just came just like that. That's a Holy Ghost. I know it is. He'll change your attitude before he'll change your circumstance. God, help me to think on good things. Help me to meditate on things of God. I keep looking for this part that I didn't have it in my notes, but when I read it, I thought, oh, that's so good. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the labor that abounds to your account. You know, Pastor Art used to say, don't be a bucket plunker. That's when we would pass the plate. And you just throw money in the plate. You know, you need to believe, God, I'm sowing a seed. Maybe it's only a dollar, but I'm sowing it into your kingdom. Are you getting me? Believe God that you're sowing a seed and you're not sowing it to help the missionaries. You're sowing it to help you. Bless God if it helps the missionaries. But don't you want to be able to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And my God will supply every need. All my need. Why? Because I'm not a bucket plunker. I've been faithful to give when you tell me to give. Luke 6:38, I think it says, given it shall be given unto you. He says, with the same measure that you give, God will give out of His glory. God doesn't have a wallet like mine. God's wallet is much bigger and His riches are much greater. But He said, with that measure that you give, I'm going to reach into my throne room, my storeroom, and I'm going to give it back to you. You'll never outgive God. There's one thing my mom taught me. You'll never outgive God. God is so faithful to give. Amen. Would you stand with me? I really don't know how to end this other than to say we started this off by talking about the marks of maturity. And I'm hoping that you have been taking a bit of an account of your life. Where are you at in your faith walk with Christ? I got saved when I was 7 years old. Had an experience with God that night. Got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I didn't even know what tongues was, and I was speaking in tongues. You know what most believers need? They need an encounter with Christ. All the religion in the world won't bring to you what you're wanting. What you need is an encounter. You need to know that you know that you know that God is able. Are you mature in your thinking? Now, no one's arrived. There's not a person that's arrived. Paul said, I'm not arrived. He wrote a third of the New Testament. He said, I'm not there. I'm still moving on. I'm pushing in. Remember chapter 3? He said, I got to forget those things that are behind me. And I push towards the goal of the mark of the high calling of God. It's a step of maturity. See, if Satan's still beating you up with your past, you're not very mature. I gave a word last night that we can hear it up here. I don't know if you can. I gave a word last night that Satan is beating somebody up in the church with their past sin. And you keep thinking that the things that you're going through right now is because of your sin. And then I said something that when it came out of my mouth, I thought, that is brilliant. And I said, for you to do that means that you believe more in your sin than you do in the power of God. Is His forgiveness not enough? God is not working you over because of past sin. If you've asked Him to forgive you, the Bible says He cast it as far as the east is from the west. Now you need to quit focusing on the sin and let's move on with Christ. That's a word from the Lord, I'm telling you. Many, many Christians fall into this trap that God is punishing them for something they used to be. We're new creatures in Christ. Old things are passed away. All things are new. If you're not born again, you ought to be praying right now, Jesus, forgive me, because this sounds pretty good. I want to be born again. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be Lord and Savior, Jesus. But for you, church, the word may be a little different. I started to think the word is, let's get on. Let's get on with the fight. There's a battle going on. And many of the church has left their post. You hear me? It's time you get back on the wall. It's time you get the sword and strap it back on. Put that helmet of salvation back on because your head needs it. Satan's throwing fiery darts right and left right now. But I'm telling you, it's darker in this world than I've ever seen it. I've never seen a day like what we're going through right now. we better be prayed up. I think what I need to do is pray for you. Would you bow your head, close your eyes? If anybody wants special prayer, just come on up here and stand. We'll pray for you. Jesus, I've delivered the message that you put on my heart. The message that Paul wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Lord, it was a lot of meat in this thing. God, I pray for this church particularly, because you hadn't put me over another church. God, you put these people under the sound of my voice. So I lift them up and I bring them before the throne room of heaven right now. God, you know every heart that's in here. You know their past. You know their present. You know what they're going through. You know everything. Jesus, you know those who are tired right now, maybe even feeling a little bit beat up. God, I pray that restoration from the throne of heaven would come right now. Lord, you said in your presence, Lord, there'd be a spirit of restoration. I'm praying, God, right now, wash over them. Revive their brokenness, God. Father, energize them by the Holy Ghost. Let them know that they are partaker of the divine nature of God. And no matter what they're going through right now, they can go through because you are with them. God, we're overcomers, God. You've not called one of us to be a victim. So God, I pray that we'd cast off that victim mentality. I'm so sick of that, God. I'm not a victim. I am a victor in Christ. So God, even though things may be hard right now, I know that I stand beside the one who can conquer. My trust and my faith is in you, not in me, not in my intellect. It's in you. God, there's things going on right now, Lord. I don't know what to do. But when I don't know what to do, I'll just be quiet. I'll just stand and trust and know that you're leading in this fight. God, I pray right now that every person in this place would know you're with them. They're not alone. God, I know these people. I know that many of them are in the heat of the battle right now. And I pray, Lord Jesus, let them feel that overcoming power. Let them feel, Lord, verse 13 that says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. God, I pray every one of us leaves this place today with a can-do attitude. That we're more than conquerors through Christ. That if you started a work in us, you said you would complete it. Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, right now for the power of the Holy Ghost on every person's life, on every family. Lord, it's difficult raising kids right now. Lord, they need your instruction. The world is putting tremendous pressure on parents to think a certain way, which is ungodly. Lord, they're going against the grain of society every day as they teach their kids godly values. But God, give them the perseverance to keep on keeping on. Give every one of us, Lord, the perseverance to be an ambassador in total darkness, to still let the light of Christ shine. Jesus, I thank you for your goodness. And I thank you, Lord, for what Paul told Timothy, that even when I'm faithless, you are still faithful. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive us if we've had our mind places that ought not be. Father, we will endeavor to do better than we've ever done before. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Brother Denny.
Yeah, Just a few announcements this morning. Before I do that, though, I do want to share one thing. When we do our deacon prayer up here, when we had it today, I kind of felt that there might be some people that don't come up because you think maybe your problem's not that big of a deal, or there are other people that have bigger problems than you and you ought to let them go, or any number of things. But trust me when I say that if you come and you allow me or any of us to pray with you, you're doing us a favor. You're blessing me when I get the opportunity to pray with you. So please don't ever feel like there's a reason not to come, right? I don't know if God wanted to share that for one person to hear that, for many people, or if he just wanted to remind me of that. I don't know, but I felt like he wanted me to share that, so I did. Now, on our announcements, it's a new month, so we have a new bulletin on the table out there. If you didn't get one on your way in, please get one on your way out. It has a lot of our information. For this month, also, next month on March the 25th, we have our street outreach, our next one. Remember, one of the verses he mentioned this morning, if you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord, right? When we go and do that, we take food with us and we give it to the poor. So we are exercising those verses that we talk about, right? So mark that on your calendar. Plan to come if you can. Whether you can come or whether you can't come, put it on. If you do like a prayer journal where you write stuff down, start praying for this now. Because if you've ever been to one, you hear the testimonies afterwards. People get saved, people get healed, people get delivered. All kinds of great things happen, and that can only get better the more we pray beforehand and prepare for it, right? Also, next month probably is our annual business meeting for Bridge of Hope. So I encourage you, if you're not a formal member of Bridge of Hope, I encourage you to do that, so that when we have our business meeting, you can be involved and get to see how our last year was and get to see the vision, the future we have for the ministry here. It'll be great, great things. So I think that's all the announcements I have. Raise your hand. Receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you, and may He keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless.